Good morning. Down to brass tacks.
Hi, good morning, Mom.
Morning.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful. Mom, I have a concern. I want to raise two issues this morning with you quickly.
Okay.
The first has to do with the misinformation of the vaccine that has been manufactured to assist in the fight at COVID-19.
Yes.
I believe, Mom, that I want to implore the government and encourage the government as a matter of urgency to do an educational campaign as it relates to the vaccination so that when the vaccine arrives on our shores, persons will not be subjected to submit themselves to a lot of conspiracy theories that's going around all around the globe as it relates to the vaccines. Yes, I understand the valid argument that some people are making in relation to the vaccine, but at the same time, ma'am, we got to understand that if everything was dropped in the world to focus its attention on creating a vaccine to wrestle the invisible monster of COVID-19 to the ground, then I don't understand where the question or this overwhelming concern for the newness of the vaccine. I don't understand. And I think that the government has a responsibility at this time to start an educational program on it. Less what will happen is that when it arrives, they will then have difficulty administering the same vaccine.
Okay, I have a question for you. How do you think they should go about doing this? What media should they use?
The sense that we know the gatherings are prohibited and so on. You can use the government can use the same I don't want to call it press conferences, but use the media more vigorously and use I don't know talk shots would be good. We can get people to come, but in fact that we're trying to avoid the gatherings for the time being. I don't know unless that prohibition is removed, right? But if get individuals and locations, I have persons, you see, at schools now, it would have been, if schools were in class, that's one of the areas you could have had personnel from the Ministry of Health would be going to the schools to educate the school children, but that's not now a possibility. So we've got to find other creative mechanisms in order to get the message across. But I believe that if the conspiracy theories is left alone all by itself, then the government have an uphill battle in trying to convince persons why they should take the vaccine. You follow what I'm saying?
I do. I am a little concerned. I agree with you. But there is so much that is circulating on the internet and not just via social media websites. People may be avoiding social media, may not be using it, and are trying to do their own research by going online. And I think there is so much information and misinformation and conflicting and confusing information out there that there are questions relating to how we will get people to trust the official line. So we had a caller earlier this morning that said he does not trust what they're saying in press conferences. So if that is how people feel, how do we bring a level of confidence in the information that is being provided about vaccines, especially vaccines that were made this quickly?
But, Mom, let me dissect the comment that you just made about the person
who
doesn't have any confidence in press conferences. Now, I don't know the reason for the comment that was made by the person who would have made the comment. But I'm saying, unless you have evidence to produce otherwise as to what was being said to you, then I don't understand then where the issue of trust comes. Because, in other words, if the government of Barbados, by way of a press conference, make particular statements, and that you have evidence to substantiate that the statements that were made were untrue, then you are on solid ground to say that you don't trust them. And then you can't say you don't trust them in a blanket statement, and then do not say why you do not trust them. The evidence must support the claim that is being made, right? So I don't know. And see, sometimes I hear this thing, but every person is entitled to their own opinion. But sometimes people have personal agendas hidden behind the opinions being made and offered. So sometimes we got to be extremely careful, right, as it relates to these types of sentiments expressed by individuals, you understand, from time to time. The next thing I want to topic I want to speak on is this whole song and dance that was made in this country over the government intention to purchase tickets for persons who remain in quarantine for more than 72 hours.
Right. So this is the offer that if people were not able to enjoy their holidays, that right. they could call a number and right. at a later date, they could receive a return ticket. So there were two things there. That was one. And the other was if people were forced to be in their hotel for more than 72 hours, that mm-hmm. the government would foot the bill of the number of days after that they had to remain in the hotel, right?
Right, right. So let me dissect it. Okay. The latter one first, I can leave it first. Now, obviously, right. the arrival to the country and all other indicators and information would have to be relevant and prevalent for the government to make a decision on who should be compensated and who should not be compensated. So it doesn't mean that all the tourists to the island and returning nationals to the island will be compensated. The information will be dissected, and the government then will use its ability to make the necessary arrangements to deal with those category of individuals for compensation. The second one now has to do with the tickets.
Okay.
Now, good. Now, I don't know if Barbadians are aware, but there's something in law called a duty of care, a doctrine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All of us know this, because I travel already, and I travel already. When I show up at the hotel where we were staying, they had an accident that took up the entire lighting from the area, and for 2 days I was in darkness, and I was compensated. For the inconvenience. I'm saying, ma'am, that if the government recognized that there's a duty of care and sought to mm-hmm. exercise that by way of compensation and offering tickets for persons who were inconvenienced. Let me tell you the spinoff.
So you agree with this? Let me just be clear. You agree with this compensation?
Of course, ma'am. And again,
of course. Okay.
I agree with it.
So the people who are saying that they are at home now, remember I referred to someone that sent in a WhatsApp saying that they've been at home waiting for this test result. They cannot work. Are these people eligible for compensation because they have been unable to work? I'm just asking.
Information was borne out in the press conference that those persons who are gainfully employed, that the employer cannot now treat it as sick days, and that the social partnership were called were asked by the government by the same press conference to intervene and ensure that these persons are not disadvantaged who are home in quarantine. So I hear what you're saying,
but not everyone works in that way. So if I work, I'm not necessarily working for someone, but I work for myself and I am paid on the basis of being able to go out there and do a job. And I'm forced to be home for 7 days, which is 7 days that I cannot go and do my job, or 10 days that I cannot go and do my job. Will the government, because it does have a duty of care to me as a citizen, taxpayer, compensate me for those days that I was unable to work after 72 hours?
But ma'am,
should that occur? I feel it is a slippery slope. But go ahead.
But ma'am, if clearly that you have evidence of any expenses incurred for the 7 days that you were in quarantine as a self-employed person, because obviously from the statement you've just made, give the impression that you obviously would be self-employed. Therefore, if by way of evidence it can be proven that there was expenses incurred by you while you were in quarantine awaiting your test results after 7 days, then I don't think that the government will be unreasonable. If you have presented that that information to the government, that they'll be unreasonable not to compensate you.
Okay, I haven't heard that they would, but...
The new president declared himself the savior of the forgotten.
This American carnage.
Hello? Are you all able to hear me? Yes, go ahead.
I can hear you. Yeah. So the point I'm making is that person or group of or category of persons must make a representation for themselves, ma'am, and by way of evidence of the expenses incurred, present a case to the government for compensation. I don't understand it. Right? But I want to get back to the ticket issue. Because the spinoff is, ma'am, that if a tourist who was given a ticket, let me say, cost the Barbados government $700, which is $355 for a ticket to come from North America, South America, or whatever, back to Barbados. And that person decides that by way of the ticket being offered to them as a means of compensation for the discomfort and inconvenience, that they will now come to Barbados for 3 weeks. So they decide for the 3 weeks, I want a rental car. A rental car at a cost of $600 a week. That's $1,800. They're staying at probably the same hotel that they were staying at, or a different hotel, at $235 and $240 a night for 3 weeks. Ma'am, that is money back in the Barbados' economy. The government is not saying that they can pay for the fish and chips at Oysters, that the visitor take his wife in Oysters. But the government has not said that they will pay for the jet ski ride on the West Coast for the visitor. What the government has said was that they would offer to purchase the ticket. Ma'am, so if the ticket, if they come on the ticket, and then by coming, they stay in a villa for $300 and $400 a night for the 3 weeks, and rent a car, and drive all around Barbados sightseeing, and go on all the things that they can do within the prescribed protocols set up by the government of Barbados. Tell me if this is not a spin-off and what you call a win-win deal for the government.
Yeah, well, they will call that the multiplier effect, I guess, is what economists will call this. I understand the reasoning behind it. I can't pretend I don't, but I don't know that I still fully agree. It does make sense in some ways. But what people are asking, a country that is so constrained at this point in time in terms of our financial situation, is this something that we can afford? I wonder how many people will take this up and how much it will cost us up front. I know I have some friends overseas who have come into the country, and they might not be too happy with me because I have not been the most sympathetic at all times, because I've said, this is a pandemic. This is a small country, 166 square miles. We have a lab. Sorry, but you may experience delays. You have the luxury of traveling in a pandemic when people have to be locked up inside of their houses. People are out of work. So it's a risk. You know how we are taking calculated risks in doing things? People have to calculate their risk when they are deciding that they are taking their vacation. Yes, tourism is important to us, but you have to know that you are traveling in a pandemic and some things may happen that you don't want to happen. I personally, if you all want to know my view, I think that if you cannot come here for 3 weeks, you should not be coming, because it's possible that you can be in quarantine or what have you for about 2 weeks. Then you will still get a week to enjoy yourself. If you opt to come to Barbados for 7 days, 10 days, it is possible that you're not going to be able to enjoy your holiday. I think that is just a reasonable expectation. So for us to compensate people who have decided that they're going to take a holiday for 10 days and then are unable to enjoy their holiday, why should we have to compensate them?
But ma'am, can I address the issue of risk? I've heard you raise that.
Sure. We'll have this a little longer, but then I think there are other people that want to come in. So go ahead.
Right. The issue of risk, ma'am. A traveler who books a ticket online or at the airline desk, right, understands that there is a risk involved by getting onto the aircraft to travel from one destination to next. Let us forget the issue of pandemic. A risk is a risk regardless if it's a pandemic, if it's a car accident, if it's a bus, if it's a train accident. A risk is a risk. I am saying, ma'am, that if a traveler who understands that that plane can crash when they get on board, they understand that it can crash, right? Now, because they understand that, does it mean, ma'am, that if they are inconvenient while taking the risk, Does it mean that they should not be compensated? Is this what you are explaining or trying to get over to me? It does not. Because a risk is a risk regardless of how it is taken. And if a risk is being taken, ma'am, a traveler gets on the flight knowing full well that the plane can crash and still do so, does not exempt him from any compensation derived directly from inconvenience caused by either the aircraft, the pilots on the aircraft, airline, whoever creates the inconvenience to that person while the person is taking a risk, that person is still entitled to compensation for the inconvenience.
Okay.
Thanks for entertaining me, ma'am.
I know your view. Thank you very much for expressing it. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Christina Hines with you until 2 o'clock. According to my clock, it's 10:45 in the morning. I have a WhatsApp I would like to read to you, which is a follow-on from the caller we just had. And this individual has noted, the concept of duty of care is an ingredient in the tort of negligence and not what the caller is holding it out to be. In the context to which he refers, government does not have a duty of care to the visitor nor the self-employed person who can't work. There are other grounds for suing the government, but I won't get into them here. Also on the WhatsApp, there are people who are challenging me in saying that I don't know what a coup is, a coup d'etat. I have some definitions that have been given so that I can educate myself. One says a coup is a sudden violent overthrow of government by a small group. So I suppose this person is insinuating that as this group was not small, it was not a coup. I really can't say, but that's my assumption here. And there is another definition that I received indicating that a coup is an attempt to overthrow, that a coup is an overthrow of government. Now, I just want to say that I said attempted, and I do stand by, I think both of these definitions support what I'm saying, not contradict them. It was an effort to overthrow the government, an attempt. It was not a successful coup, but it was an attempt to overthrow the government. And again, if we think about parliament, our parliament here, and we consider if a group of people went into the parliament, were able to get past whatever security we had and go into the parliament building, and were threatening to kill people in there, and had attempted and stated that they wanted to get rid of them and to retake the government in the name of some other individual who they believe to be legitimate or group, that certainly would be a coup attempt. Anyway, let's see who we have on the phone lines. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Miss Hines. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. How about you?
I'm okay. What you're being said and everything like that. Miss Hines, to reply to the guy, Patrick, that just called, that seems to always act like he's annoyed all. He was talking utter rubbish, to be quite frank. Because, first of all, the WhatsApp that you just read, the first WhatsApp that he was referring to that was replying to him, is that absolutely correct, right? Because the money, in my opinion, and I would like to hear if you agree or disagree, that this government, right, is meeting out to people, and with what the Miss Cummings, Lisa Cummings, said on the TV some time ago, that they would be reimbursing and the tourists and what have you for what mishaps they may or may not have, right? I think that money, right, could be more infused and put into the people here in the society, okay? Saying that, to add on also, we are at a state of affairs here as far as our economy, as far as the society of people is concerned, right? You understand? And I do not agree with this this thing of giving back that sort of money, meeting up that sort of money, especially in these hard times. You have single mothers, single fathers, people that are home. They don't know when they're going to start back work, if they get to start back work. And at the same time, you have some employers using this situation to their advantage. And this is a known fact because everything is the corona. And they're using this to their advantage in so many different ways, and they're being smart about it. Now, whether the government of Barbados realizes this or not, that's a different story. You understand? I heard recently what the head of the private sector, Mr. Clark, was saying. And he, to quote him to some extent, said basically that the heavy restrictions is affecting business. And I beg to ask Mr. Clark and everybody else in the private sector and even in government, which is more important right now at this present moment? Which is more important? Because without a society, the economy cannot flourish. The society is made up of a group of people that have to work, the average workforce. And without them being healthy and well taken care of, health-wise and financial. To reiterate my first point I made to reply to what the guy Patrick was saying, without them, he ain't going to be nowhere. So the monies that we've witnessed over the last couple of weeks and months being meted out, throwing here, throwing there, a lot of money went bar, paying out foolishly. And yeah. I mean, there's one thing after the next, and I really don't get it. Take that same, if you really want to do good and you really want to show, to use the government slogan that they care, mayor cares, show them that you care by doing the right thing, by taking that same money. Because if these tourists can come out here and spend so much money, as you was making the point earlier, a very valid point, right? And you can come, some come for 7 days, 10 days, or what have you. You understand? They come here into our island. They think they can do as they like, but here, I've seen and witnessed things, let me tell you, right, especially on the West Coast. And this idea of using this bus crawl issue all the damn time, you ain't really start with the bus crawl.
Okay.
All that is happening, in my humble opinion, Ms. Hines, and I would go off the air and just let you reply to whatever you feel to reply to, all that's happening, yeah. I do believe, could have been controlled from the very get-go. If this ruling BLP administration had listened to other people and followed the precepts in the correct form and manner. Now it's like
so what,
chicken
what you're saying is what? They should have had a...
Basically.
Sorry to cross you. Are you
no
saying
problem.
That they should have closed the airport
the
border?
Yeah, exactly.
Or that we should have
exactly
had 14-day quarantine mandatory?
Exactly what I'm saying. You hit the nail right on the head. Exactly what I'm saying. No,
the
yes,
first one, which is closing the borders and not the 14, because there are two approaches
suggest. Both. I'm suggesting both. They should have closed the borders. Encamp the situation. If you encamp a situation before it really gets out of hand. Now, we are a small island. Somebody made a point to me some time ago. I was traveling somewhere, and somebody made a point to me here in Barbados and said, oh, but I got big countries, got this. We only got a couple deaths. That does not cut it. Whether we got a couple deaths, whether we had one death, two deaths, three deaths, a whole set of people sick or not. The point is you plan things in a strategic fashion. You don't do things in a hot and sweaty moment just to try to prove political points. And seek to get some kind of mileage. And this is what this is really all about. There, some may agree with me, some may not agree with me. That's no problem. But that is a reality and that is a fact. So a lot of them that come on this program and other mediums and using other social media to talk rubbish instead of examining and being circumspect with the actual facts of this whole situation that clearly has gotten out of hand. You understand? Right? I mean, they need to look at these things. They need to dissect these things and look at it. In the area of the, and I just want to touch on this quickly. In the area of education, I humbly think that the Ministry of Education should really held back on the CXC exams and wait to next term. Again, don't rush to do things.
But you know, the ministry doesn't have control over when CXC is going to hold its examinations. It only has control over what is happening in Barbados. And because it's a regional examination body,
Yeah, I understand that. I'm talking as far as hair is concerned. And the teachers right. needed to be treated a little better, in my opinion, as far as payments and what have you, right? And as far as the issue with the nurses, with the standoff, no, with not getting, some getting monies and the rest thinking that they should really get what is owed to them, they're in, all these things need to be looked at. There's so many different little things. I don't have the time to really look into it, especially at the different polyclinics. One in particular, I barely mentioned some time ago to your, one of your fellow comrades on there, Peter Wickham, and Comrade Dennis Johnson. I spoke about it briefly. The attitudes, people, a lot of people are taking this whole pandemic situation for granted, and they're using it even more for different behavioral practices as far as customer service, how you deal with people. They were bad before, and it's even worse now. If you go into any, I don't know if you agree with that, if you see it that way, if you have had certain situations that you would understand the point that I'm trying to make. But all these different little things you got to look at. So we beg to talk about pride in industry and this and that. So if we're talking about pride in industry, you understand, we got to look within ourselves first before we can go forward even more. And they have to remember that without the society, the economy wouldn't exist. So that's for the private sector and this administration. They need to think before you act. Plan, sit down, and have a conversation. Be more transparent. They talk about being transparent. Be more transparent. The Attorney General talked about having a place of transparency. Let's see who's being transparent. No. And I think they need to be more transparent in every area, in every sector, ma'am. Have a good day.
You have a good day, too.